Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Washington Commanders running back Brian Robinson, who was shot twice in the lower body during an attempted carjacking on Sunday, shared a message on Instagram saying that his surgery went well, and that is extremely good news. Head coach Ron Rivera provided an update when he met with the media on Monday.
Well, I can't get into the specifics of it other than to just say he's doing well. We had an opportunity to visit with him last night, which was really a relief and kind of cool, because he was in a really good place. The doctors were very positive with him, and he was very positive as well. So, we're very fortunate. He's very fortunate. It's a very unfortunate situation. But he's doing well, and it'll be a matter of time before he's back out here. There is no timeline, but as I said, everything was very positive.
Ron Rivera wearing the orange shirt, which is a signal, a message assigned to everyone out there for awareness when it comes to gun violence. And we've talked about the scourge of gun violence, and it's not just mass shootings. It's this casual,
hey, we're just out here and I'm going to shoot you because I want your car, I want your watch.
I told you, I was in New York staying in Midtown Manhattan.
Yeah.
Right? And the street was blocked off on each end because there had been a shooting there.
Yeah.
I've been going to New York for 13 years now regularly, and I had never encountered that. So, and carjacking, isn't that a thing from like 40 years ago? Who carjacks anymore?
And COVID
started
again.
Aren't all these cars, aren't they all like wired with computers, and it's useless? Unless you're, I guess, take it to a chop shop and literally take the parts and sell. Who would even steal a car nowadays? How far are you going to get with a stolen car?
It's going on here a lot.
Unbelievable.
It's going on to the point where people in the tri-state area, I mean, people are going into, right into people's driveways. COVID started this. Desperate times, desperate people. I don't know. We had even the issue up here in New York with the dining people, we were eating outside because of COVID. Well, you know what that led to? It led to people pulling up to the side of the restaurant and holding people at gunpoint. Give me your money and your cash right here. You're right by the street. I'm right by the car. Boom, give me it. Boom, I'm out of here. And so it's weird times in our country. I mean, there's more casual killings than ever before. There's hate crimes up everywhere. Yeah, it's sad to see. And, of course, New York, with as many people as it is, it's probably got a little bit more than that than the normal city. So I hear you, man. It's disturbing.
Good news for Brian Robinson. He is doing well. There's no timeline for his return.
Yeah.
A third-round pick in the 2022 draft. It basically supplanted Antonio Gibson, by all appearances, as the starting running back for the Commanders. But, obviously, that is a distant secondary consideration at this point. The best part of it is he emerged from that horrifying encounter with non-life-threatening injuries, and there are indications, no clarity yet, but there are indications he's going to be able to play football again, maybe later this year. Carson Wentz, in his first season with the Washington Commanders, as we get closer and closer to week one for them, here's Wentz talking about where the offense is as the real games approach.
Feel good. It's exciting. Obviously, we've put some good, some bad, some ugly out on tape, and it's not been perfect. But I think I like where we're at. I like the mindset. I like the makeup. Definitely not perfect, and we'll be building and growing as a team really every week, every time we step on the field. But the body of work we've had from OTAs, the summer, training camp, and then preseason games, I really like where we're at, and I'm optimistic.
Everybody's optimistic now, though. I mean, let's be realistic. Everybody is optimistic at 0-0, especially after we saw what the Bengals did last year. I know they had Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, but you don't find out until you start playing the games.
Yeah.
1 week after another, teams are going to win, teams are going to lose. You know, we've had the text conversation on the PFT writers thread, and an observation was made because there are so many teams that we thought were going to be good that maybe there are some signs of cracks. And one of the writers said, boy, a lot of teams are going to suck this year. And my response was, no, because there's going to be a winner every game. Unless they're all 9-8 or 8-9 and it's Pete Rozelle's dream and everybody goes into the last week of the season alive for the playoffs, which makes for an exciting Week 18, but not all that much of an exciting Week 1 through 17 if there really isn't excellence.
Yes.
But for every bad team, there must be a good team, because for every loser, there is a winner. So somebody's going to win these games. Somebody's going to do well. It may not be the teams that traditionally have done well, which makes it even more exciting, but somebody's going to do it. And even the Commanders, with all the dysfunction, with all the crap, with all the questions, Ron Rivera is still a damn good coach.
That's right.
And one of the ingredients in surprising everyone is walking into the season with everyone saying, who we play this week? The Commanders, we're fine. That's how you start letting the Commanders win a game here, win a game there, and next thing you know, they're viable and relevant in December.
Yeah. I they're one of those teams, Mike, that it's hard to pinpoint where, and again, I don't think they're going to be real bad or anything like that, but it's like, how good can they be? You know, they're one of those teams where I look at and go, ooh, they're fringe playoff conversation, but if they got in the playoffs, I wouldn't be shocked. There's pieces that are kind of special and you know, blue chippers there. Again, I know we're waiting for Chase Young to get back healthy, but what I remind everybody too is Chase Young's not the best pass rusher on their team anyways. Montez Sweat is there. You know, Jonathan Allen in the middle is real. You know, offensively, I question the offensive line a little bit. I do, because they got some new pieces, some young guys there, journeymen, where you just go, okay, how is this going to work? How dominant can they be? But at the same time, you can look at Carson Wentz and go, wait, Carson Wentz is physical ability, and he's got an amazing receiver in Terry McLaurin. And, wow, if Curtis Samuel can stay healthy, wow, that's pretty damn good. Jahan Dotson, their first-round pick from Penn State, looks like he's the truth. And then you add in Logan Thomas, a tight end. You go, well, they got guys that can make some plays. That's for sure. So they're a team to me that's kind of hard to figure out. I think, one, because of, you know, maybe the O-line questions, the dysfunction you're talking about, and then the Carson Wentz factor to a degree. You know, that I think between that, that's where it's like hard to pinpoint exactly where they're going to be. But I don't think either one of us would be like, oh, I wouldn't be fall off the chair shocked. I'm not going to pick them to win the NFC East, but if they, like, were going down late in December and it's them and the Eagles fighting for to win the NFC East, I'm not going to go, oh, my gosh, I never thought this would have happened. There's some pieces there. It's just one of those where you put it, and I got to see it to believe it a little bit first before I can, you know, stamp it with approval.
Okay, so with an over-under win total of 7.5, and remember, it is now a 17-game season if you missed all of last year. 7.5 over-under. They were 7-10 last year, and it was regarded as a disappointment because they won the division the year before. Are you over or are you under 7.5?
Yeah, the NFC East, I mean, they play the AFC South and the NFC North. They have a pretty favorable early schedule. I mean, as far as they're going to play a team in Jacksonville and Detroit who are still finding their way a little bit. You know, the Eagles, I know, are really talented. Cowboys, we don't know about them. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if we were sitting here going, wait, they're 3-1. I'm going to go the over here. But I don't know if it's going to be much over. I don't feel like, oh, wow, I see 10 or 11 games on the horizon. I'll go 7.5 because, yeah, I feel like it'd be more 8 than 7 or 6, I guess. But I think that, I mean, that – win total to me for right now is pretty damn close, but I'll take the over for now.
I will too. And schedule structure is so important. And I don't think we focus on it enough. I know you and I do, but I just think fans generally, media generally, needs to really look at that early season schedule because they could pick up some wins and they could pick up some momentum. And we know what will happen. After the first week, we're going to overreact to what happens either way, win or lose. After 2 weeks, if they come out of this 2-0, and is it crazy to think they're going to come out of this 2-0?
No, not at all.
Crazy.
Not with the Jaguars in line.
I'm not saying it's likely, but it's not crazy to think it'll happen. And then you got a couple of rivalry games. You got a couple of divisional opponents. You don't know what's going to happen. And injuries are a factor too, and they go week by week by week. A team is either going to stay healthy or it's going to disintegrate. You may come across a team that has a key absence when you get into the meat of the schedule.
That's right.
They got some winnable games there.
They do.
I think they can get to 8. I think they can get to 8-9. Yeah. I'm with you. Yeah. I'm with you.
There's no murderer's row stretch to your point where you look at it and go, whoa, those 5 games are insane. You know, yeah, there's a game, but they got a game that's winnable in between every now and then that makes you feel like, okay, they can keep the momentum going.
Look at the other half. At Texans, Falcons, and they got the Giants sandwich around their bye.
Right.
Those are all winnable games large part because we don't know where those teams are going to be then. The Giants could be dead in the water again, and if the last decade holds, they will be. And again, it's a division rivalry, so it's going to be a tough game. It could go either way, but there's 8 wins there. There are 8 wins there for the Washington Commanders in large part because for all the dysfunction, for all the stupidness, for all the self-inflicted wounds, I am a firm believer in Ron Rivera. He is the best thing that organization has going by far, and he could be good enough to help lift the organization to 8 wins, which would be regarded as, I think by most people, an astounding outcome to the season.
I think so. I mean, I think that would be from where they are, the things they've had to deal with. I don't see how if they were 8-9 or 9-8, that's a win for sure. I think, and Ron Rivera has been the steady, calm presence there to now we're getting close to football to where, yeah, he, to your point, he makes us believe a little bit that he'll get things going in the right direction. And I think there's enough talent there to go, oh, okay, I could see that happening.
All right. How about the New York Giants? An over under for them also of 7.5, even though they won only 4 games last year. This is the latest attempted reboot of the Giants franchise with a new front office and a new head coach. But and a lot of the same players. How much chicken salad can be made by the Giants? Can they get over 7.5 wins? And I know that you've got to set aside your boyhood fandom for this one.
Yeah.
Can you do it? Can you be objective and assess whether or not they get above that 7.5 mark?
I can be objective here, and I would take the under here. Again, I don't. I would be shocked if it's like a 4-13 type of season. But do I see 6-11 or 7-10 and a lot of pain in the butt, you know, like losses where they gave a team a little bit of the run for their money that might have been better than them? Yeah, I think that's where I kind of look at it with the Giants. I think Daniel Jones will be better. I think the offensive line will be better. But I don't, you know, if we're going to be able to write home about the offensive line yet and go, wow, it's really special. Defensively, you know, again, I think it's going to be better because it's going to be more creative. But I would say, too, is, you know, who are the big playmakers on the Giants' defense? Who's the guy that's going to, you know, Leonard Williams is by far their best player. Thibodeau, we know he's hurt, and he hadn't shown anything yet. So I just look at it that way and go, okay, there's still some questions to be answered, but I think they could be one of those teams where we go, ha, 7-10, that was a positive 7-10 year. We're building on something. 2023 looks really good in New York. That's kind of the way I see it.
You know, the Peter principle was a theory that was coined largely tongue-in-cheek in the late 60s. The basic notion is we all rise to the level of our own incompetence because you keep getting promoted and promoted and promoted until you get to a job where you don't get promoted from because you're not any good at it. But it does apply in football, especially the NFL. I got a chapter about it in Playmakers. I haven't mentioned Playmakers.
Oh, good thing you got it in.
Available wherever books are sold. But we see it all the time. A guy who's never been a head coach becomes a head coach. Is it going to work? Is it not going to work? Maybe he has reached his ceiling. Maybe his ceiling is coordinator. Guys like Wade Phillips, all due respect. North Turner, all due respect. Much better as coordinators than head coaches. It is a fundamentally different job. We don't know. Just like we don't know what Trey Lance is going to be as a quarterback, we don't know what Brian Daboll is going to be as a head coach, and we're all going to find out, which, you know, we kind of know what Brian Flores. Not to go back down that path, but we kind of know Flores can do it. We don't know Daboll can do it. We will find out, good, bad, or otherwise. And, hey, Vince Lombardi went from being a Giants assistant to one of the great coaches of all time once he got his opportunity. It all comes down to him. But that's another reason to just – there's too many uncertainties with the Giants.
Right.
I'm with you. I have to go under on them. Eagles. Ooh, Eagles getting some love at 9.5. Ooh, 9.5. 9.5. Expectations are high in Philly. You know, those fans are still juiced up about that Super Bowl from 4 years ago. They want another one badly. It's now 5 years, Eagles fans. How have you managed to survive for 5 years without a second Super Bowl? You went 52 without one. Hard to go 5 without 2 once you get a taste of it. Do you think the Eagles will be better than 9.5 wins this year?
Yes, 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 yes. I do. You know, it again, the Eagles roster, it's phenomenal. It's a little bit like the 49ers. Right? And we all, okay, there's some quarterback questions, but I don't think they're the questions like the 49ers got. We know what Jalen Hurts is, and it looks by all accounts that he's even got better at throwing the football. And the one thing you know about this guy right here on the screen, Jalen Hurts, he doesn't let anything affect him. He doesn't care. He's a stubborn SOB. So what? You're going to trade for this guy? So what? I got this guy as a backup. I mean, so he's you know, unflappable that way. So I don't worry about it, even though I don't go, whoa, this is a top 10 quarterback. But damn, the Eagles are one of the best rosters in football, hands down. Like, I look at them, you know, and the 49ers as two of the top five teams in the game. And then, you know, Mike, we talk about early season schedule, and I just go, whoa, okay. I don't know. I mean, the first nine games of the year, they're the better team on the field on paper. There's no doubt about it. I know they got to go out and play the games, but nobody, as of it sits right now, I mean, I'm not taking the Lions to beat the Eagles. I'm not taking your Vikings to beat the Eagles. I'm not taking the Commanders to beat the Eagles.
How dare you?
Yeah, and I'm not taking the Jaguars, you know, and then, hey, we get to Cardinals and Cowboys, and there's some talent there, but I just look at the Eagles and go, arguably best O-line in football, like you've heard me say, good tight end, superstars at receiver, you know, decent group of running backs. Great D-line. Linebackers pretty damn good. And then a really damn good secondary to go with it. I just go, there's only a game or two the whole – there's only a few games the whole year where they're going to step on the field and go, well, wow, this team poses some problems for us in this physically in this area or whatever. And every other game they're going to go, well, we're better than them, period. Can we just play and not mess this up?
I agree with you. And I'm going to go over, although – and what. I really think Nick Sirianni should have gotten more credit for what he did last year.
He should have.
They pivoted to a run-based offense because the passing game just wasn't there. The question is, will Jalen Hurts rise to the occasion? They've made the investment in A.J. Brown, good friend of Jalen Hurts. I think that is a show of confidence, but also a challenge to Jalen Hurts. But I think they know that he's wired to get it done. I think that they know they're – it's just amazing to think how much that team has changed in 5 years, and here they are back in contender status. And I really do think they fit that bill. They are contenders. I will put them at the over. The highest over-under win total in the NFC East belongs to the Dallas Cowboys at a whopping 10.5. A lot of bluster, a lot of big talk, a lot of salesmanship from Jerry Jones. It's been 27 years now since the Dallas Cowboys have made it even to the NFC Championship game. Are you over or under for a team that was 12-5 last year?
I'm going under for sure. No question. I mean, 12-5 last year, it was really good. There were some positives. I think the schedule fell the right way for them. I don't see – I'm going to go under here. I don't see – you know, I could see maybe, you know, 9-8. And I'm not even going to say 10-7 is crazy, but I don't see 11-6 or 12-5 or 13-4. I just don't see that. I you know, I think they're a team that's fringes of a playoff team. And then, you know, you talk about, hey, oh, there's no Tyron Smith early in the year, and we got issues there. Oh, yeah, the Bucs and the Bengals are the first two games. Great. Two of the better pass-rushing teams in the game. You know, the running back situation, I question that. You know, the receivers, we got to see how that plays out. It's a different group there. Are they really going to be as explosive on that side of the ball? Defensively, like we talked about, I don't know if they're going to be better. That's the other thing. I mean, they were the 19th ranked defense in football last year, and we acted like this is like the top five defense because they were just so shitty the year before and the worst defense. So I don't see it, Mike. I don't. I just have too many questions, I think, across the roster. Plus, I just feel like another year of everybody kind of getting a feel for McCarthy and the Kellen Moore offense, and Dan Quinn's defense is not going to surprise as many people this year in Dallas with the NFC East. I think it'll be a little bit of a down year as compared to last year for Dallas.
You know, I agree with you. They do a great job every year of making us think they're going to be better than they ultimately are. Every once in a while, they'll rise up and surprise us. Last year, 12-5, a bit of a surprise. The year before that, plenty of hype, plenty of expectation, 6-10. The Dak Prescott injury obviously didn't help that outcome. The year before, there's always hype, 8-8 a year after they won the division. They ping pong. I look back to 2014, playoffs and first place in the division in 2014, last place the next year. Playoffs the next year, no playoffs the year after. Playoffs the next year, 2 years no playoffs, last year playoffs. It's a recipe for consistent mediocrity to at times slightly above average, which would explain why when you go back over the course of the last 27 years, and it all starts really in 97, playoffs, no playoffs. Playoffs, no playoffs. And we know how long they went between playoff wins, and now they are 27 years between final four appearances in the NFL. So I'm with you. 10.5, too much for this Cowboys team. And prove us wrong. Prove us wrong, but yeah. I have a feeling they won't.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and take a break. Cool. When we return, we'll play this same game for the NFC South over under win totals and where we think they are. Unfortunately, we agreed on everything. I don't like it when we agree too much. I'd rather disagree. We'll see if we disagree on the NFC South when PFT Live continues right after this.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta, because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members, because at Delta, we know. Refill? Everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
All right, NFC South, there are your odds for the, no surprise, Buccaneers, overwhelming favorite, then the Saints, then the Panthers, and the Falcons are just trying to stay on the radar screen. They are a soft blip at the far edge. But who knows? Who knows? We would have said the same thing about the Bengals last year as a potential Super Bowl participant. So let's get into it, Chris. NFC South win totals, they play the teams of the NFC West and the teams of the AFC North, a.k.a. good luck, teams of the NFC South. Start with the Panthers. 6.5 over-under win total. Coach on the hot seat in Matt Rhule. Quarterback in Baker Mayfield. They just added Laviska Shenault via trade with the right. Jaguars. Not that that's going to make a tremendous difference, all due respect. But what do we think? They were 5-12 last year. Matt Rhule, I'm surprised, is back for year three. I think the buyout saved him. Do they get above 6.5 wins this year?
I'm going to say yes. The schedule is tough. I think that's the thing that, you know, bothers me more than anything, because I kind of believe in the team. I did a little last year. You know that. I look at it and I go, wait, the team got better. And, of course, it's a young football team that got a year older. And I think they got the best quarterback they've had in a while since Cam Newton playing. So that's where I go, you know, they are in a tough division. We know that, too. So, I mean, you look at their schedule and you go, well, I could see them maybe starting out 2-0. I could maybe see that for sure. But, man, they got some stretches there where you just go, whoa, that could be pretty brutal there. You know, the Saints, the Cardinals, the Niners, the Rams, the Bucks. Oh, you get a break with the Falcons and, you know, you got the Bengals back on. And then you start to go to the Ravens. And so I'm going to go over here. Again, they're one of those teams that, I think if there's a team that I mark in the NFC that goes, it didn't make the playoffs last year, but could be in it this year and kind of comes out of nowhere. I'm, for the second year in a row, going to go with the Panthers. O-line was biggest issue last year. I think they've improved that. Go ahead. Sorry.
You're a firm believer in that defense.
I am.
And the defense can't do its thing if the offense can't do anything. And the big mystery in all of this is Christian McCaffrey.
Mm.
If he can stay healthy, and it's not on him. I don't say that in a pejorative way. He plays a position. We've said this time and again. The risk of injury is ever present. And there are very few Emmett Smiths out there that are constructed in a way that they can continue to keep going no matter what it is that may be broken, sprained, or fractured on them. So if they can get more out of McCaffrey than they have the last 2 years, they should be able to get over 6.5 wins. I don't know that I'm ready to say that they're a playoff contender, but I could see them finishing second in the division behind the Bucs. I could see them overcoming the Saints. I could see it falling a certain way. So I'll go ahead. I thought I was going to disagree with you on that one, but you convinced me. And again, if we can just keep the team healthy, this should be a team that sails over 6.5 wins.
I think so. There's definitely, superstar receiver in DJ Moore. We know about Robbie Anderson. You know, you said it, McCaffrey. Tight ends aren't bad. Front seven on defense is up there with anybody in the game. And, you know, the secondary, add that to it and go, well, they got a lot of good cover guys across the board. And, you know, didn't even have their top 10 pick last year in J.C. Horn play. So he's back. So I just look at that and go, gosh. And then the fact that it is kind of a lame duck year here for Rule where, yeah, your butt's on the hot seat for sure. I'm going to say they go over. I don't know. I'm not sitting here thinking it's going to be 11-6 or 10-7, but I think they get over 6.5 wins.
They could get over 6.5 wins, and it still may not be enough to save Matt Rule by the time it's all said and done. When they were linked to Sean Payton earlier this year for next year, they didn't exactly mobilize to spray cold water all over that possibility. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, over under of 11.5 wins, and for good reason, 13-4 a year ago, petered out in the divisional round this year. Tommy's back. He's ready to go. They've upgraded. They've got some great players on both sides of the ball. They're one of the true few contenders in the NFC that we just look at and say, yeah, they're in. Do they get over 11.5 wins, though?
Yeah, this one's I expect them to win the NFC South. I do. I look at it and go, this is still one of the better rosters in all of football. There's no doubt about that. Their schedule's real deal this year. It's real deal. The last few years, it's kind of fell the right way. You know, we saw the year they won the Super Bowl, they put a bunch of cupcakes down the stretch to where they got to get in a run and gain some confidence. Last
year, they were 6-6, weren't they?
Yeah.
Six and six.
And, you know, they got to play some, you know, teams that they were
7-5, something like that.
Right around that range. You know, again, I look at, you know, this year and go, whoa, it's a little different. Last year, the schedule was not daunting. This year, I look at it and go, I think that the Saints are going to be damn good. We just said Carolina is going to be better, I think. And then when you talk about the NFC West and the AFC North, plus the crossover, we got to play the number one team, you know, in the other division. So we got the Packers on the schedule. And then the 17th game is the Chiefs. That's their crossover 17th. I still think going to be one of the better teams in football, but I'm going to take the under here. I could see 11-6 or 10-7, and oh man, we stubbed our feet in a few games and lost some, you know, that we didn't think we were going to lose. I don't know. And then with the offensive line issues, I just go with that and Brady. I think it could be a little less uncomfortable than it's been the last 2 years. So that's where I'll just go slightly under on this one.
Or more uncomfortable. Less comfortable or more uncomfortable?
More uncomfortable. I guess that's the way I should say it. Less comfortable, more uncomfortable, yes.
You're back on the devil's lettice, so we'll give you that.
Give me some
leeway. We're not going to give you the high bar that we had become accustomed to. They were, by the way, 7-5 going into the last four games of the 2020 season, ran the table, and then won four more, obviously, to cap the season. I was leaning over. And then as I listen to you, you pulled me to your way of thinking. I'm still going to say over on this one. And I know because I currently believe this is Tom Brady's last hurrah, I think that's going to be a factor. I think he will cause those around him to elevate. he will shout it into existence that whoever is playing left guard, center, and right guard will play well enough to allow him to get rid of the football. Todd Bowles will do enough. He may not be Bruce Arians, but he'll do enough. And he'll have Arians there to help him out. And Arians has been involved. I am going to go over on this one.
Okay.
I think that even though the schedule is not kind,
yeah,
I think because this is Tom Brady's last year, barring a surprise, although he's been full of them lately, I think that's enough to pull everybody together. And, you know, it may not be enough to get to the Super Bowl, but I think it's enough to get north of 11.5. I'm very nervous about that.
They're right on the cusp there. You know, I think so. You look at a team that's, you know, been at the top of the mountain for 2 years a little bit, and you go, oh, could there be a letdown? And you know, like I said, I think, you know, I would like to – I could talk about – I just think that the schedule has fallen the right way for them the last 2 years a little bit, to where even down the stretch last year it was the Panthers twice and the Jets and – you know, to me, you know, again, with this the way it looks, and then I go offensive line, and you got to play all these teams with these great defensive lines this year. There's a few more stretches of games where I look at and go, there's no guarantee. As good as the Bucs are, there's no guarantee they're gonna beat the Saints or the Packers or the Chiefs, right? And, you know, the Ravens and the Rams and teams that we've talked about that go, what, Mike? Have a little creativity on the defensive side of the ball and have some dudes up front that go, we can get in Brady's face and cause some issues. So that's where I lean, but I don't feel confident about it, just like you don't feel maybe totally confident about the over there. It's a tough one.
I'm probably giving Brady more credit than I should, but that's fine because he deserves all the credit he gets. When it comes down to the impact he can have day in and day out on a locker room as you go through
the
17-game grind, I think that ends up being even more important than what Todd Bowles does as the replacement for Bruce Arians. And also, if last year, if there's anything to the rumors, the reports, the idea that there was some friction last year, if they can eliminate that friction between head coach and the offensive structure, this is just Byron Leftwich and Tom Brady doing it all this year with no interference. Well, assuming Bruce Arians doesn't try to interfere because he's still there. But assuming that things are more harmonious this year, maybe that sets the stage for at least 12 wins in 2022. Saints, 8.5 is their number. Last year they were 9-8, and they had a lot of things conspire to make it harder for them to be as good. And I know that Bill Parcells says you are what your record says you are. They were better than 9-8 last year. Will they be better than 8.5 wins this year?
Yeah, this is a tough one because, I mean, you do lose Sean Payton, and it's just like, wow. Gosh, you lost Sean Payton. That's just not easy to replace. But I do think Sean Payton left the team in a pretty good spot for where they are right now. I don't know how much longer it can last because they got some guys, you know, that are aging veterans that I worry about a little bit. But I'm going to go over here. I am. I don't think it's going to be by a lot. You know, I could see them going 9-8 here, but I just look at them and go, man, defense is pretty top-notch, and Dennis Allen being over there, that hasn't changed. And I know they're losing Sean Payton. I don't expect the offense to be as creative, but, wow, it's still an overpowering offensive line, and they got legit three receivers this year. And you add that to Alvin Kamara and the way they can kind of run the ball. And I know the offense, even though it might not be as good, it's still going to be solid and good. It's not going to, like, it's going to, I don't think it's going to fall off earth with a guy that's been underneath Sean Payton for this long. So I'm going to go over here. I'm going to go over with the Saints.
At times I have heavily defended Jameis Winston. We talk about the 2019 season. Yes, he threw an interception on the last play of the year, intercepted and returned for a touchdown to give him 30. We forget about the fact that he had over 5,000 passing yards. I feel like he is who he is at this point in his career. This is year number 8 for him. He is who he is, and I don't think that's enough to get the Saints to where they want to be. We've had the foot injury this year. He had the ACL tear last year. Without Sean Payton there to work his brand of magic, I need to see it to believe it.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Look, I think Dennis Allen was the right guy for the job. I think the continuity makes a lot of sense. I couldn't understand why Dennis Allen wasn't getting looks from other teams to go in and be their head coach. But I just think when we get to the week in and week out grind, they're going to find out the hard way what it means to not have Sean Payton there, and they're going to go under.
You're going to go under. Yeah. All right. It's a tough one, and I hear your point. It's not easy to replace Sean Payton, the motivator, the guy who can kind of stick the hot poker, you know, on everybody to get them going when they're you know, maybe down in the dumps a little bit, or just, you know, middle of the season monotony. And then, of course, as we both know, his ability to game plan and call plays at the right time, steal plays, invent plays. I mean, it's second to none. He's one of the greatest of all time in that department. So it's not easily replaced. So I hear your questions there. I guess I'm just going to rely on the roster a little bit. And I guess I have just a hair more faith in Jameis Winston, I guess, than you do.
Last and most definitely least in the NFC South. Sorry, but it's true. They know. Falcons, they know. They may be heading somewhere good, but for now, this is where they are. Over under of 4.5 wins. Last year, surprisingly 7-10, but that was with Matt Ryan. Now we go from Matt Ryan to Marcus Mariota and maybe at some point Desmond Ridder. Do they get to at least 5 wins, Chris?
Man, this is a tough one here. I that's where I kind of see them as, that like 5-12 type of team, maybe 6-11. I mean, maybe 4-13. I guess I want to say under, but I have a little faith in Arthur Smith. I do like the way he coaches football games on the offensive side. And they have an offensive line that's got a little toughness to them, you know, but yeah, you know, you're relying on a rookie receiver and Kenyon Drake London.
Drake London.
Thank you.
Kenyon Drake London.
Yeah, right. Drake London from USC, who's dealing with a knee issue. You know, we know Pitts is a superstar. The defense, there's not a lot of household names there for sure. I mean, Grady Jarrett and Terrell, A.J. Terrell, are their two guys on the defensive side of the ball. So, gosh, I want to go over here too. I want to go over, but I don't want to go over by much. I'm going to say over by like 5. I'm going to say 5 wins. I don't know. I feel like they'll squeak one out, but I don't feel comfortable about that. I think we're right in the range of what I expect the Falcons to be.
I'm looking at their schedule now.
It's pretty brutal, right?
Yeah, I'm looking for the W's.
Yeah,
They do have a Panthers sandwich week 8 and 10. The meat in that sandwich is the Chargers. And they got a short week coming out of that Chargers game. I just don't know. Where are the victories? Where do you look at it and say?
I'm going to go under, too. I'm going under. I'm going to go 4. You're with you. I hear you. You're right. There's no stretch there. The Bears, okay, maybe. I don't know. But you're right. There's just, to your point, I think you're saying it right, Mike. What game are they going to step on the field and go, we actually got the better players? And actually, as I sit there and look at it more thoroughly here, I go, I don't know if there's one that I'm going to sit here and go, well, I'd rather have their roster than this roster. The Bears might be the only one I look at. Other than that, I think you're right. It's big trouble. So I'm going under there. You changed my mind.
The stretch that will set the tone for the Falcons week 3 and week 4. Because now look, they could beat the Saints week 1. They could. And that would create a very different vibe for the Falcons if they can pull that off. But let's say they would lose to the Saints and the Rams. At the Seahawks with Geno Smith, or maybe by then Drew Lock, who knows. And then the Browns, who won't have Deshaun Watson. If they can come out of that stretch 2-2, then I'll revisit my position. But even then, even when you take the first 4 games out of the mix, Chris, where are the wins? That's a long way to go before you get to the Bears in week 11. Bucks, 49ers, Bengals, good luck there. And then you got the Panthers twice in 17 days with the Chargers in between. I'm sticking with the under, and if they prove me wrong, I'll be the first to admit I was wrong, because I agree with you. I believe in Arthur Smith. I just don't think they have the personnel yet.
Right.
And this whole Matt Ryan thing, I mean, they wanted Matt Ryan to be there. They had negotiated a restructured contract that was going to allow him to stay, and it wasn't until Deshaun Watson expressed interest in them. They came to the table. That blew up the Matt Ryan relationship. And now, Marcus Mariota was available for a reason. Good quarterbacks just aren't available for you to go out and grab. And he's got potential, but he doesn't have consistency and he doesn't have durability. And I think they're going to, at some point, they're going to see what they have in Desmond Ridder. And if they don't have anything good in Desmond Ridder, they're going to be in position next year with a very high pick in the draft to get a franchise guy if they want to try to do it. So I'm going under.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think you kind of laid it out the right way. That's the questions I have. And I've gotten the sense, too, and even the preseason, and I noticed this just from the Jets game last week that we saw on Monday Night Football. You know, again, anybody you talk to, the Jets seemed like they had their way with them in the scrimmages leading up to the game. And the game, I felt like Atlanta game-planned a little bit for the Jets. I feel like they've game-planned a little in every game to kind of build a false sense of confidence like you're talking about to a degree, at least more than the other teams I've watched that have been generic. So, you know, I think they've maybe given us a false look a little bit too. So I'm with you. I'm going to go under as well. There's just not enough big-time players on both sides of the ball to make me think they can do more than that.
Let's go ahead and take a break. Plenty more PFT Live still to come. We'll be back right after this. Lamar Jackson still does not have his long-term contract. Yesterday, he dipped into Twitter to respond to some Twitter users on a variety of points. Here's one. The first comment, Lamar Jackson is a league MVP, still hasn't broken the bank. Ravens, you're on the hot seat. Give that man the $250 million guaranteed before you write a check your ass can't cash. Response, he wants more than that. They've already offered that. Here comes Lamar. No, they didn't.
I love it.
Lamar. I mean, it's great.
I like this part,
too. And then there was
too.
A response.
Yeah.
As much as I love Lamar, a fully guaranteed deal is just bad business. Just because a horrible franchise, the Cleveland Browns, did horrible business, giving Watson that contract doesn't mean other teams should follow. Honestly, I'm hoping Lamar gets a 10-year, half-billion-dollar deal. Response, you don't love Lamar.
That's a great response. You don't love him.
And the best one was this, because, and this exchange continued. There were so many tweets to try to pick through. But the user Hitman1600 making the point, hey, look, sometimes these guys grow up in a place and they want to play for that team. And the point was made, you know, maybe Lamar grew up in South Florida, wants to play for the Dolphins. His response, I grew up a Dallas fan, but Dolphins were second, no doubt. He did not say, I'm a Raven for life. I grew up a Dallas fan, Dolphins were second. So then there also was eventually a picture of Lamar wearing the Dolphins uniform. The Photoshop skills are endless on social media. There it is. Hey, I've look, they either get this done or they don't. I know that really isn't
that's
very
deep
high
thoughts by Mike
my
Florio.
Part.
Either they get yes, this done or they don't.
They're either going to get it done or they won't. But here we are, 2 weeks away, 12 days away from week one when the Ravens play the Jets. He has applied a week one deadline, and I know it's not a real deadline, but at some point you got to focus on the season. At some point, they got a 3-day break coming up after the cuts, and then they get back and they start practicing, getting ready for week one. Lamar Jackson is going to have less time than ever once they come back from their 3-day break and start focusing on getting ready for week one. So, and if it does not happen this year, it may never happen. There's a chance he never signs a long-term deal with the Baltimore Ravens, and he ends up in a different uniform as soon as next year.
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility. Again, it's still crazy where we're at in this situation. And, you know, to play off what you said there, I would think that if this doesn't get done by that 3-day break, I would think that 3-day break needs to be the time where, you know, they break some bread and try to figure out the contract here. They got to figure it out. I hope, like, you know, Lamar doesn't leave town or something like that. I hope he stays there and tries to figure this out. I want Lamar to get his money. I do. I'm a Lamar Jackson fan. He's a hell of a player. He deserves it. You know, as we know, it's weird here. It's weird. We know he was offered more guaranteed money than Kyler Murray, which he should be. He's better than Kyler Murray. He's been better than Kyler Murray. He's led his team to the playoffs, you know, every year except for last year where he got hurt at the end of the year. He's won an MVP. All right, but I think what we are finding out here a little bit is the Deshaun Watson contract is an issue. It's an issue.
And it should be.
And it's not his, like we talked about this last week, right? It's not his fault that it's an issue. I'm sorry. Dumb owner in Cleveland paid, you know, quarterback in trouble, stupid money. So he's going,
correct,
wait,
all complaints to
I've done
Sid.
Just, I've just done, done all this. I've done all of this and more than Deshaun Watson, so I should get that. And that's the problem here. He didn't set the market. You know, dumb owner in Cleveland did. I'm sorry. I'm just having fun here. I don't mean that literally, but you know what I mean. Yeah.
But it's fine. And look, here's the reality. And I think this is part of the deeper push and pull that's going on. Once is an accident, twice is a trend. Wise man once said that pretty much every week on ESPN Sunday NFL Countdown primetime, whatever. It was one of Chris Berman's go-to lines. So you've got the Deshaun Watson deal. 5 years fully guaranteed, $230 million. Is it an aberration or is it the start of something that's going to continue? Well, here's the Kyler Murray deal that isn't $230 million fully guaranteed. And one of the issues is, does the owner have the cash available to put the amount of money in escrow that is required by this stupid, outdated funding rule that was put in place to protect players but now is used against them because owners don't want to put, and some of them can't put that much cash in an account to ensure that it's there. Because the idea was, hey, some of these teams may become insolvent back in the 60s, 70s, etc. Nobody's going broke now. There's so much TV money coming through every year. They're always going to be able to pay these guys. You don't need to put the money in escrow. But that's the pushback. That's the counter to it. So it's kind of like the third game of a three-game series here. This is the rubber match. Does Lamar Jackson get Baltimore to do what Cleveland did, or will it be two in a row without a fully guaranteed deal? Then you have a stronger argument that the Deshaun Watson deal was an aberration. I still think Russell Wilson's next deal will be fully guaranteed, frankly, and maybe others, maybe Joe Burrow's as well, although I don't know that Mike Brown has the cash to put it all in escrow. But that's the key, and it's clearly one of the big messages from his tweet. He wants a fully guaranteed deal. Jay Glazer said that a week or so ago. We've talked about it. He wants, and he should. He should. I don't care how dumb the Browns were. They have crossed a river that cannot be uncrossed. And now Steve Bisciotti has to decide, do I want to swim in that river or do I want to risk not having Lamar Jackson? And it all comes down to this at the end of the day. Lamar Jackson wants a fully guaranteed deal. Okay, fine. The Ravens just say we're not going to do it. Here's the best we're going to do. And we talked about this with Roquan Smith. We've talked about it with Lamar Jackson. At some point, you get their best offer on the table, and you got to make the decision, the grown-up adult decision. Do I play for $23 million with no guarantee beyond this year, and who knows what's going to happen in 2023, or do I take the best offer they're willing to pay me? So hopefully they put their best offer on the table at some point and he can make that assessment. But there's a chance his assessment is, I'll roll the dice. I'll bet on myself. I'll bet. Guys are wired to bet on themselves because they always think they're going to win that bet.
I know. I know. It's just, it's a risky bet. And again, I don't know what they're offering, but we know it's somewhere in between the Watson money and the Kyler Murray money. And that's just, gosh, if it's $190 million, $200 million guaranteed, wow. I wonder if he'd take the Watson deal just plain and simple, right off the, if they just said 5 years, 230 guaranteed, would he take it? Or does he want even a little bit more than that? I don't know either there, but I'd be interested to know. And I also want to go, there's a lot of things here where I also want to go, wait, if you're offering $195 million guaranteed or $190, like, I don't know, then damn, just go to 230. Just go to 230 and let's get it done with. And you got your guy for the next 5 years. You don't have to worry about it. So there's a lot. It's crazy. It's crazy that we're talking about this. All I know is I do worry about Lamar. He plays a more dangerous style of football than we know just about any other quarterback in the game does. And that's where I do want him to protect himself.
Watson was at $45 million from scratch. Murray got to 45.1 new money. When you look at it, you factor in the 2 years left, it's not really $45 million at signing. But he can say he's making more than Deshaun Watson at 45.1, even though the guarantee is far less and he really isn't. So you get Lamar to 45.2 and every dollar is fully guaranteed. I would think you get that done. If you're willing to do it, they may not be willing to do it. But I'm going to try something here before we go to break.
Yeah.
I'm going to try your magic trick, okay? Now, my hands aren't as big as yours, but here's what I'm going to do, and let's see if it works.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
I'm going to apply my hand, nothing up my sleeve. I'm going to take my hand. I'm going to apply it to the microphone. And I'm going to say, Lamar Jackson, the time has come for you to recognize that you are not suited to negotiate this contract without a qualified and certified NFLPA agent. Lamar Jackson, I am calling upon you to finally admit that you need an agent and to finally hire an agent. All right, we'll see if that works. See if it works.
I like
the Chris Sims magic
trick. It worked
trick.
Yesterday. You'll see if it works for you.
Grab the microphone and speak it into being. Lamar Jackson, commence the process of hiring an agent. All right, let's take a break. We're going to do a draft when we come back of the teams that are giving off good vibrations as we're heading into the 2022 regular season, which begins in only 9 days. More PFT Live right after this.
Good, 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 good vibrations.
The last question on the Broncos, Courtland Sutton v. Jerry Jeudy. I think we're aligning Courtland Sutton being the guy there.
Courtland Sutton, we've seen it before.
Yep.
Like, you know, Courtland Sutton was a top 20 fantasy wide receiver in 2019. He had Joe Flacco and Drew Locke as his quarterbacks.
They're not
and great. So massive upgrade, as we've talked about. Think about, again, Cooper Kupp last year. Don't underestimate the ability of a quarterback upgrade to improve a fantasy wide receiver's production. My concern on Jerry Jeudy, he's had 169 targets in last year. He had 3 touchdowns.
It's not great.
He had no touchdowns his rookie year.
The Red Solo Cups are back every day, noon Eastern on Peacock, the fantasy football happy hour. Chris, I almost sent you a picture last night. It's barn season, and we'll be watching football down there. I needed to replenish my collection of Red Solo Cups. So I have 3 big stacks of Red Solo Cups on the bar in my barn, and I was going to take a picture of it and send it to you last night.
So what do I got to do? I got to buy you some like glass mugs here or something that we can put in the barn. I mean, come on.
I got glass mugs, but that takes time and effort to wash them. You use water and soap, right? So it's easy to just, you know.
I got you.
All right.
We're going to work on that. We can be better in that department. We got to self-scout thyself and come up with a new game plan there.
You know what I'm going to do? There was a picture recently of a guy back in the 60s drinking water from a ladle on the sideline.
I saw that in the Chiefs Slayer.
I'm going to get a ladle, put some ice in it, a little bourbon, a little mixer, and sip out of the ladle.
That would be amazing.
Right. Teams giving off good vibrations as we get ready for the 2022 season. This can go in a lot of different directions. Who do you have, Chris?
Well I'm going to go right away with the Chiefs. The Chiefs are the team I'm going with here. 100%. To me, just defense was phenomenal. You've heard me kind of rave about them almost every week of the preseason so far. You know, Mahomes, the first 2 games, was phenomenal as well. I just feel like they're a team on a mission here. And the fact that they played so much and going to hit the ground running, I think they're giving off big-time good vibes here. So I'm going to take the Chiefs to start this off.
I'm going to start with the team that when they last played, I actually picked them to beat the Chiefs in the playoffs, and it sounded batshit crazy at the time. Sorry. But I remember you being very nervous when T.J. Watt returned a fumble for a touchdown, and
Seriously.
The Steelers were up 7-0 at the end of a quarter.
Yeah.
Now, the floodgates opened in a very, very bad way for the Steelers after that, but at least I got to enjoy the possibility that it wasn't the craziest prediction ever made. I think the Steelers are giving off good vibes. I really do. They got 2 head coaches.
Yeah.
They got Mike Tomlin and Brian Flores. Are you kidding me? They have an overpowering defense. They've got Najee Harris. Now he's reportedly dealing with a Lisfranc issue in his foot, but until he's shut down, he's the guy. They're going to be fine at quarterback. They've got great receivers. The offensive line is the big question mark, but I have a feeling they're going to work this thing into something better than people expect. I just feel that most of the league and most of the media and most of the fans are just kind of like, they're down. I think, to me, they're giving off, because I know that team as well as any team.
Yeah.
They, to me, are quietly giving off a sense that, and Mike Tomlin said it to Peter King, bring it on. And bring it on. And that's all that needs to be said about the Steelers.
I don't disagree with you there. The vibes have been good. I mean, only thing we've really questioned is the offensive line a little bit through training camp and preseason. Even with the quarterback duel itself, we go, well, damn it, I think they're going to be good in either one. It's not going to be like a game changer if they pick the wrong one to start the year here, which I expected to be Trubisky. So I'm with you there. There has been a lot of positive vibes, and they are one of those teams that, you know, you've always said they're backed into a corner. That's when they seem to, you know, start throwing haymakers and connecting and become a force. All right, my next one, I'm going to go with the Dolphins. I mean,
damn
gosh.
It.
Yeah.
That was my next one.
You know,
for the record, Tuanon, yeah. That was my next one as
good.
Well.
Yep. Tuanon. It's funny. Tuanon has replaced QAnon, right? I don't even hear about QAnon anymore. I just hear about Tuanon. It's totally Tuanon now. But either way.
No, never mind.
Well, don't go down there. I'm just making a joke.
I'm not going to say it.
All right. Either way, it's vibes. They've been trying to force vibes on us all offseason, but I think when they're a team that just kind of hits you in the face when you turn and watch them on TV or film or whatever, where you just go, holy crap, how many good players have they got? I mean, how many? The defense has got studs everywhere. The offense has studs everywhere. Mike McDaniel gives them a new energy. You know, so I just look at them and go, yeah, things are positive. And Tua seems like he's focused and in a great spot as far as him personally. So they're giving off lots of good vibes down there in South Florida.
This may be the Hard Knocks bump and the fact that Dan Campbell is such an entertaining head coach. And the bar is chronically low. It doesn't take much to create good vibes for a team that hasn't won a playoff game since 1991. I'll say the Detroit Lions. Especially in a wide-open NFC. Is it crazy to think the Lions could find a way to string something together, win some games? They were in a lot of games last year. You've said it before.
Yeah.
They were a pain in the butt for a lot of teams.
Oh, my gosh, they were.
There's a positivity. They have flaws, but everybody's got flaws. But I think that they are at least giving off good vibrations. They are in a spot entering a season that they haven't been in a very long time where people are actually paying attention to them.
Yeah, yeah.
And for the Lions, that's a win in and of itself.
It is. It's definitely a win in itself, 100%. You know, there's a few teams that make this list that are – but I'm with you there. They have positive vibes. The Ravens I think about here, the Bills I think about are giving off good positive vibes.
I think
vibes.
They want us to take a break.
Okay,
I think,
finally.
Is that what you said?
She said last one.
Oh, go ahead. Do your last one.
But this is what – I'm going to go with a team down on the bottom of the list like you just did too, just to give some up. The Jaguars. I think the Jaguars are giving off great vibes. I mean, how can they not be better from last year? But with Doug Peterson, Trevor Lawrence has looked good, ATN's looked good, Trayvon Walker's looked good. There's a lot of young talent where you go, wow, I'll give the Jags some love for positive vibes.
All right, blow the horn.
He likes the Kirk Cousins today. Hey,
well,
I like
them. It's very simple. It's very simple. They have moved on from a curmudgeonly cantankerous head coach who was a defensive specialist whose defenses sucked the last 2 years. They have an offensive head coach who comes from the Sean McVay tree with a talented allotment of skill position players. Very talented. Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, Irv Smith if he's healthy, Dalvin Cook. They're so confident in the backup running backs, they're talking about trading Alexander Mattison, who's a starting caliber running back. And Kirk Cousins, if you draw plays that will work before the walls cave in, and the defense, it could be like the Cowboys last year, where the defense really doesn't have to be 85 Bears or anything close to it. It just has to be better than crap.
Right.
So I think they can make some noise. I think they could even win that division.
Whoa. Whoa.
I think they can.
Wow.
They can.
I wouldn't go
and
that
you know
far,
how
but I,
am.
I can see
you
them
know
making
negative
noise. I know.
About the boys in purple.
I'm
I think
shocked.
They can win the division.
I'm shocked.
All right, let's take a break. We'll wrap things up right after this.
Yeah.
Today's an important day on the NFL calendar. All rosters must be at 53 by 4 p.m. Eastern. It used to be 90 to 53 in one fell swoop. They now step it down 85-80. Today it goes to 53. Some teams have already begun. And there will be recognizable names, Chris. There always are this time of year. We've already seen them trickle out today. O.J. Howard, the tight end, who was a free agent and signed by the Bills, he's out. Philip Lindsay, who was once upon a time a great undrafted hero running back for the Broncos, he's out in Indianapolis. Duke Johnson out in Buffalo. It's going to continue. It's going to continue all day long. And it's unfortunate, but at the end of the day, there's only 53 spots available. Teams are going to have to say goodbye or put on one of the reserve lists up to 27 guys. The good news is 16 can come back on the practice squad. So not that many at the end of the day are permanently out of work.
Yeah, no. You're right, but it's a delicate day. It's a weird day to be in the NFL on this day. And especially if you have to, you know, be in the building for, you know, some sort of, you know, training, practice, whatever, you know, to see guys get called upstairs and you know what's about to happen and life is going to change for them. You know, it hurts your heart because these are guys you've been in the locker room with, been buddies with. And all of a sudden, the total vibe in the locker room is going to change to regular season mode and let's go. And a lot of people get, you know, left by the wayside.
And for a lot of guys, what they will hear today becomes the fire that builds and grows and burns, because they decide they are not going to take no for an answer. They are not going to give up. They are going to do everything in their power to get better at their craft until they find a way onto a roster. And NFL history is full of guys who have done just that. Today will be that spark for a lot of players. All right, we'll be tracking all the moves all day long at PFT, and we'll see you back here Wednesday morning with another edition of PFT Live, as we will be only 8 days away from the start of the season. Have a great day, everybody.
See ya.
At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.